All right. Well, thank you so much, Brother Ken. Thank you for sharing the Bennyisms. I didn't bring them. I was going somewhere to preach the other night, and my wife said to me, she said, "Are you taking the Bennyisms?" And I said, "Well, I can." And we was laughing about the book, and you know, to be honest with you folks, that book that he just read from is a million seller. Yes, yes, yes. As I was leaving, getting ready to go preach, my wife said, "I sure hope you can sell some of those tonight, because there are probably a million in the cellar." Amen? I do so much appreciate you being here tonight. And this is not an exaggeration. I don't know how many times I've preached here. I always enjoy it. You're a great, attentive group. I really do. I enjoy it. That's why I come back. And I don't know how many times I've preached, but we got lost coming to church tonight. I mean, we got lost. You know, Daniel Boone, one time they asked him, said, "Daniel Boone, have you ever been lost?" He said, "I've never been lost, but I was quite bewildered one time for 5 days. Well, we got lost tonight, trusting the GPS. And it reminded me of a story, and I'll tell you this story, and then I'll read the text. I was going to preach one night in a hurry, moving pretty fast, not exactly for sure where I was going. Church hired somebody now who just travels with me. Everywhere I go, Matt goes with me. He's like my American Express. I don't leave home without him. Amen? But I was moving real fast up the interstate, and I looked in the rearview mirror, and I saw blue lights. And I thought, great, an opportunity to make a new friend. And I got the car off the side of the road, and I started buckling something. The officer came up. He said, "I need your license and proof of insurance." And I showed it to him, and he said, "You're going 80 in a 65. I said, "Let me explain. It's always the same pattern." I said, "I'm a preacher. Sometimes it works." I said, "I'm a preacher. And I'm going to preach." He said, "Nevertheless, that matters not." He said, "The way you're driving at these speeds, innocent people could get hurt. This is not healthy." I said, "Well, I'm sorry, officer." I said, "I was just going down here to this little Baptist church to preach." He said, "You know, Mom was a Baptist." I said, "I love those Baptists. I love those Baptists." He said, "Pastor, I don't normally do this, but I'm going to let you go." I said, "Praise God and the Lamb forever. Where God guides, He provides. Amen?" I said, "Praise God." And he was walking away, and he said, "One other question, Pastor." He said, "I notice you've got your seatbelt on." I said, "Yes, sir, I do." He said, "Do you always run it through the steering wheel?" Well, it's good to be here. Good to be here safe, right, Matt? And I'm so glad that you're here tonight. And Pastor Ken and Pastor Kenny, just, they're wonderful, but he's so exactly right. When I pray and I put together a message, there's two things I ask myself. I say, first of all, what's the content? What's the content? I want to make sure I've got the Word of God. And then I say, what's the intent? Those are the two questions that for 34 years of preaching, I've been asking myself. What is your content, Benny? And what is your intent? You say, "Well, I'm wanting to accomplish 12 different things." Sunday school teacher, you can't do that through a lesson. Pastor, you can't do that through a message. You've got to have a focus. And what is your intent? What are you trying to accomplish? So I want to invite you tonight, and I want you to take your Bible, if you would, to 1 John. Would you stand with me? 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, and I probably preached too long last night. I apologize for that. I felt real bad about it. I had to take half of a baby aspirin to sleep. But anyway, I'm going to try not to preach as long tonight, I promise. 1 John chapter 5, verse 10 reads like this. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Let us pray. Lord, as we bow our heads and our hearts in your presence, Lord, you know my intent tonight. I believe it's your intent. And God, I pray tonight that you would speak to us and through us. I thank you for Pastor Ken. I thank you for Pastor Kenny. I thank you for this worship team. Lord, those songs uplifted me. And I thank you for them. I thank you for the songs each night. Grateful for the time that I was born again. Grateful that you radically changed my life. And I pray tonight that you would just meet the needs of these beautiful people. Help me say the right stuff. Nudge me when I've said enough. And I give you all the honor and glory. For I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Until you come, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want to talk to you tonight for just a little while about how to overcome ADD. How to overcome ADD. Now, I'm not talking about attention deficit disorder, because I couldn't do that. I don't think I've mastered that myself. I told my wife the other day, I said, Barbara, I've taken some cold medicine. It's made me awful hyper. She said, my goodness, how can you tell? But I want to talk to you about how to overcome ADD. I want to talk to you about how to overcome assurance deficit disorder. Assurance deficit disorder. I mentioned the name Mother Teresa. Everybody knows that name. She served the poorest of the poor in Calcutta, India. She started the Missionaries of Charity, which is in 134 countries on 5 different continents. But Mother Teresa's journal was found after she died. And they began to read Mother Teresa's journal. And apparently, in her Christian walk, this matriarch struggled with this issue of assurance. Because in her journal, she wrote these words: what do I labor for? If there be no God, there can be no soul. If there is no soul, then Jesus, you're not true. Even Mother Teresa battled with this issue of doubt. You say, well, Pastor Benny, doubt's the opposite of faith. But that's not true. Think about this, folks. The opposite of faith is not doubt. The opposite of faith is unbelief. Doubt is when I have faith, but I struggle in my faith. See, there are three groups of people in the world. Those who have doubted, those who will doubt, and those who are brain dead. Just three groups. Think about this. Think about this. John the Baptist. Jesus said, there's not a greater among you than John the Baptist. Amen? There's not a greater among you than John the Baptist. But when John the Baptist was in prison, a couple guys came to his cell there, and he said, you go ask Jesus, is he really the Messiah, Or should we look for another? Is he really the one? Now, this is the guy that Jesus said, there's not a greater among you than this guy. But this was a guy who struggled with doubt. You remember in the eons of time, God said to basically Adam and Eve, all the trees of the garden you can eat of. But that one tree, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you don't eat of that tree. Because when you eat of that tree, you're going to die. He was pretty clear, Brother Kenny. And you know the story. The serpent comes unto Eve in Genesis 3 and 1. And notice what he says. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said? Is that really what he said? Ladies and gentlemen, in the eons of time, the devil wanted to create doubt. And the devil still wants to create doubt in the hearts and lives of people. And when I look at this text tonight, folks, when I look at 1 John chapter 5, and I look at verse 13, it says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. That's us. That's Christians. But I've written these things unto you Christians. Why? That ye may know that ye have eternal life. That ye may know that you don't have to doubt. It reminds me of the story of Albert Einstein. He was on a train in one occasion, and the conductor was marking the tickets. He was punching a hole in the tickets of the passengers. And he came to Albert Einstein, and he said, can I see your ticket? And Albert Einstein began to reach for his ticket, and he couldn't find it. And then Albert Einstein got down on his knees, and he was looking underneath his seat to see if he could find his ticket. And finally the conductor said to Albert Einstein, Mr. Einstein, don't worry about it. We know who you are. He said, I'm not worried about it because I don't know who I am. I'm worried about it because I don't know where I'm going. And this is what I know. Ladies and gentlemen, God wants us to know where we're going. God wants us to know where we're going. God wants us to have assurance. Here's what's amazing. The same man who wrote 1 John, he also wrote the book of John. He also wrote the book of Revelation. Now, in John chapter 3, it's familiar. John said, Jesus said to Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. John 3 and 5, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. There must be that born again. There must be that birth experience. Did you know I didn't realize this? I asked a couple doctors in my church if it was true. You know, some people have visual birthmarks. I mean, you can just see them. You say, what is that? That's a birthmark. But you know what I asked a couple of doctors in my church this? I said, is it true that we all have birthmarks? And those doctors said, yes. Every person has birthmarks. Some of them are very visual. Some of them are not. But we all have birthmarks. Now I want you to get this tonight. There are four birthmarks. There are four birthmarks that every Christian has. And I don't want to just give you my opinion. I want to take you to the Word of God. And I want you to see those four birthmarks. And if you've got those four birthmarks, they can be great assurance to you in your faith. Birthmark number one is the birthmark of confession. The birthmark of confession. Notice what 1 John 5:1 says. It says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, notice the terminology, is born of God. Now notice, it didn't say whosoever is baptized. It didn't say whosoever is a good person. It didn't say whosoever joins the church. Whosoever believeth. You say, well, Pastor Benny, I can't remember the exact point. Maybe you're like the guy that goes to the doctor and he says, Doctor, I can't remember anything. And the doctor says, well, sit down and tell me about it. And he says, tell you about what? I want you to know something. I came to know the Lord one night at midnight. I didn't know how to pray. I was from a very dysfunctional family. I didn't know who my daddy was until I was 30 years of age. I came into existence. My mother spent a couple nights with a gentleman, and I was born. We grew up in a very dysfunctional family. We grew up running taverns, nightclubs. I lived in taverns and nightclubs. That was my life. So when I prayed to receive Jesus Christ, there was a radical change in my life. I believe when you pray to receive Christ, I believe just when you pray and you mean it, it can change your life. It was, you say, it's not a long, we said, Pastor Ben, did you pray a long prayer? No, it's not the length of the prayer, it's the strength of the prayer that makes the difference. Amen? Just a few words can change your life. I can prove it, I do. Just a few words can change your life. But let me tell you something. So I had that experience. But the greatest Christian I know is my wife. And my wife, she had a drug problem her entire life. Her mom drug her to church. And from a little girl, she came to church. Now I'm going to share something with you tonight that may be some help to you. She can't remember, Miss Ginger, that exact point like her husband. She can't remember that exact time that she prayed to receive Jesus Christ. You say, well, what does the Bible teach? The Bible never teaches salvation in past tense. It never teaches he or she who hath believed. It always teaches it in the present tense. He or she that believeth. You say, Pastor, what's an indicator that I've had an experience in the past? An indicator is you're believing on him today. An indicator that something has happened in the past is you're believing on him today for your salvation. Oh, folks, just because you can't remember your birth date doesn't mean you're not born. Amen? It reminds me of the story of Will Rogers. He goes to get a passport and they say, "Mr. Rogers, we need to see your birth certificate." He said, "I don't have it." They said, "Well, we need to see it." He said, "Why?" They said, "We need proof of your birth." He said, "I'm here. Isn't that proof enough?" Oh, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. A birthmark of Christianity is the birthmark of confession. Let me give you birthmark number two. It's the birthmark of change. Of change. Listen to what 1 John 2:29 says. Notice the terminology. "If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him." Ladies and gentlemen, when we come to know Christ, there'll be a birthmark of change. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, seeth he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." I'm not talking about, I know there's a child to Christ testimony and there's there's a crime to Christ testimony. I know there's different testimonies. But here's what I want you to see. When we come to Christ, there'll be a change in our lives. There'll be a change. You know, I heard about the guy that was working at Ford Motor Company. And he got saved. And he started bringing parts back. He had stolen alternators and he had stolen batteries and he started bringing them back to the Ford Motor Company. And the plant manager went to Mr. Henry Ford and he said, "What do you think about this?" Mr. Henry Ford said, "Dam up the Detroit River and let's baptize every one of our employees." Ladies and gentlemen, it's a birthmark. It's the birthmark of confession, but it's the birthmark of change. But there's a third birthmark. It's the birthmark of compassion. Look what 1 John 4:7 says. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. In Luke chapter 9, you remember the story? Jesus is out ministering. James and John are out ministering with him. There are some people who don't receive Jesus. And James and John look at Jesus and said, "Jesus, call down fire down and destroy these people. Amen? Won't you call fire down?" Jesus, no. I didn't come to destroy men's lives. No. I came to save men's lives. You know, later on, this John, 26 times, mentioned the word love. This John, in 1 John 3:14, said, "We know that we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren." Let me tell you something, folks. When you come to know the Lord, we've got all these issues to doubt, all these issues going on about race relations. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you the answer for race relations. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ is in our hearts, we love people. We love people. The love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Shed abroad in our hearts. We love people. He puts a love in our hearts that wasn't there before. That's the answer. My mother. Pray for my mother. I think my mother's receiving a blood transfusion right now. She's in the hospital in Nashville, Tennessee. you pray for my mom. But I never will forget. My mother got saved. Literally, my mom went to a place planning to end her life, planning to commit suicide, and gave her life to the Lord. The place where my mom was going to end her life, she found life. And we got saved. My mother's mother was in her 70s. She'd lived hard, Ken. And our church was having a revival much like this. And I called my grandmother and said, "Granny, I want you to go to church with me." Granny was in her 70s, but she was lost. Folks, we ought to just be nobodies. It's telling everybody about somebody that can change anybody. There's no virtue in men and women going to hell. We're to try to do everything we can to reach them. Somebody said, "What do you think about this method? What do you think about this method? What do you think about this?" Oh, folks, I'm for a dog if he'll bark for Jesus. Amen? And my grandmother came to the revival. After it was over, I said, "What'd you think about it, Granny?" She said, "That preacher stared at me the whole service." Sometimes on Sunday, people will come out the door and they say, "Oh, Pastor, this brother here said, you got on my toes. You got on my toes." Well, that's not the preacher. That's the Holy Spirit. If I was going to aim for a body part, it wouldn't be your toes. Amen. But anyway, let me tell you. Next night of that revival, conviction was on my grandmother. And they had those theater-style seats. Theater-style seats. And grandmother's grandbaby got her leg caught in that seat. During the invitation, this is all I'm going to say, folks. Now, I mean this with all my heart. The devil will do anything he can to distract them. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ every Sunday morning over us, because the devil will do anything he can to distract people's minds. He really will. And I went over, and I got her leg out of that seat, and I popped her down, and I said, "You sit there and don't you move." Because in Jesus' name. And then my grandmother, 70-something years old, Matt, made her way to that altar and prayed to receive the Lord. And my mother knelt down right beside her, and she looked at her mother and she said, "I love you." And my grandmother looked at her and said, "I love you." And about a week later in service, my mother stood up to testify. And she said something like, "I'm 50 years old." That's the first time I've ever heard my mother tell me she loved me. Let me tell you something, folks. Jesus puts a love in us that's not there before. If you don't have that love, friend, you don't have the birthmark. Because there's that birthmark of confession. It's there. That birthmark of change. That birthmark of compassion. But I want to give you one more. It's the birthmark of conviction. Notice what 1 John 5:4 it says. For whatsoever, tears in my eyes, and I'm having a, my writing's not good. I wrote something down the other day and a guy took it to a pharmacy and got a prescription for Valium. I just can't hardly read my writing. But he says, 1 John 5:4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. But you know, when I see that word overcometh, that implies a struggle. Amen? And a birthmark, the fourth birthmark, is that birthmark of conviction. Let me explain. I gave my life to Christ. Young ladies, I had a terrible mouth. But even after I got saved, one day standing out by a chicken pen, something happened, brother. And I popped off a word. Let me tell you what happened. I felt like a ham sandwich at a Jewish picnic. See, Carrie, the Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. And that word grieve means to deeply sadden. And the Holy Spirit was in my life. And Matt, when I did that, I deeply saddened him. You said, Brother Benny, can a Christian sin? Uh-huh. But you can't sin, get by with it. Amen? Am I preaching right? You can't sin. So, because once you come to know the Lord, but if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you a bastard, not a son, according to Hebrews 12 and 8. So when you come, now I don't discipline other people's children. But I discipline Savannah Abigail. Before she came, I used to travel the country and preach on 10 surefire steps for raising the healthy, productive, godly child. And then I had a child. And I changed it, Miss Jewel, to three things you might want to try. They may or may not work. I don't discipline other people's children, but I discipline Savannah Abigail because I was her daddy. And ladies and gentlemen, when you're a child of God and you get out of line, He's going to discipline you. He's going to convict you. He's going to pinpoint those things that are not right. And it's just a birthmark. See, I'm done. But the devil wants to keep us doubting. D.L. Moody said it best. He said, I've never known anyone who was any good in the service of Christ who did not, first of all, have the assurance of his or her salvation. Let me tell you something. You don't base your assurance on how you feel. Because God is not a feeling. God is a fact. Amen? You don't base your assurance on how you feel. Because God is not a feeling. God is a fact. You base your assurance on the Word of God. On the Word of God. Do you realize, folks, there have been 297 cases in the United States that have been overturned on the basis of DNA. 297, Matt, that have been overturned, cases in the United States on the basis of DNA. People that have been in prison for years have gotten out on the basis of DNA. And here's what's amazing. 70% of those cases that have been overturned had eyewitnesses. Folks, we can't go by this see thing. We can't go by this Philly thing. We've got to base our salvation on I have done what God's Word says. I have done. And we can get a PhD past having doubt. Ladies and gentlemen, after this service, I'm going to walk right out there. And I'm going to greet you. How many of you believe that? Raise your hand. Sure. Why do you believe it? Well, he gave us his word. But can I tell you something? I could lie. I'm a man. I could go right out there and just walk out the door and go home. But listen, Titus 1 and 2 says, in hope of eternal life, which God
that cannot lie, hath promised before the world began. God can't lie. You base your salvation that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And we can have assurance and live a life of victory. As they softly play some music back there. Friend, I shared this message simply because it's what God placed on my heart. Tonight, with every head bowed and every eye closed. Every head's bowed and every eye's closed. How many would say, Pastor Benny, this issue of doubt, I've struggled with for years. The devil's caused me to doubt for years. And Brother Benny, I just want you to pray for me. We're not a soul looking but me and God. You just hold your hand up real high. Many, many, many hands. Many, many hands. Many, many hands. I want you to do something. I want you to do something tonight. If you raise your hand, I want you to pray this prayer with me. Just repeat this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, but I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry, I want to change. I believe that you died on Calvary's cross for all my sin. And I confess them to you right now. Now, thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank you, Lord, for coming into my life. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Pastor Benny, I prayed that prayer tonight. Just slip your hand up. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now listen to me. I want every one of you to look at me. Every person in the congregation. Look here. You're saved. Not on the basis of what I said, but on the basis of what God's Word said. Because you have done what the Bible said you needed to do. Here's what I want to encourage you to do. You just reach out and claim this salvation. Just reach out and claim it. And tell yourself the truth. You tell yourself what God said. See, look here. I haven't opened this. Didn't drink any out of it. But I want to give it to you. Now, do you believe that? But you don't have it. You've got to reach out and take it. And the same thing's with the Lord, folks. God's forgiven you. Walk in it. Reach out and take it. Amen. If the Son set us free, we're free indeed. Can we give the Lord praise tonight? I have the privilege of serving as the president of the Congregational Methodist Church. It's an honor and distinguished privilege. I travel and I try to visit all. We have about 175 churches. We're in 11 different states. And I try to travel our denomination and help pastors and help churches. I don't know if you're aware of this, but October is it's National Pastor Appreciation Month. Amen? October, yes. And it's And each year in the Congregational Methodist Church, I want to ask your two pastors if they'd be so kind to come. And one stand here on my right, one stand on my left. You men come. Matt, you come. Each year in the Congregational Methodist Church, we give an award for the pastor of the year. Keep in mind, 175 churches, 175 pastors. And the recipients this year are Reverend Kenny Martin and Reverend Ken Griffiths. Their names are engraved, and it says September the 21st, 2016. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Dr. Benny Tate, President. Dr. William A. Snow, Jr., Vice President. I think, men, for 10 years, you men have served together as co-pastors. This was such an encouragement to me. I remember going to Billy Graham's home 5 years ago. Billy Graham said to me, "Brother Benny, Bev Shea, Cliff Barrels, and I served together all those years. And we never, never had discord. Oh, we disagreed from time to time, but we kept a wonderful, wonderful relationship. And what these two men have done, how God's used them to launch this church and build this facility, how they work so together is certainly to be commended." Yes. And as I travel our denomination, we don't have greater pastors than Kenny Martin and Ken Griffiths. God bless you. I appreciate you. I appreciate you. Brother Ken, I appreciate you. You men are wonderful men. I thank you for your service to the Lord. Would you do something one more time? Let these men know how much we appreciate them.